Every year in Hawaii, people drown, keiki, kapuna, residents, visitors. And every time it happens, we say the same thing. It's tragic, it's unfortunate. The ocean is powerful. But here's the truth we are not saying clearly enough. Drowning is not just tragic, it's preventable. And when something is preventable and continues to happen, we have to ask a different question. Why? Why, in a place surrounded by water, do we not have universal water safety education in our schools? Why are the very professionals who pull people from the ocean, our lifeguards, still fighting to be recognized as first responders? Why do we have a single unified system? We do not have a single unified system that tracks drowning incidents across our state, fatal and non-fatal, so we can actually understand the problem. We're not lacking knowledge, we're not lacking expertise, we're not lacking people who care. We're lacking alignment, we're lacking urgency, and we're lacking accountability. In other areas of public safety, on our roads, in our workplaces, in our hospitals, we do not accept preventable loss of life without action. We build systems, we pass laws, we change behavior. The ocean should be no different. Here in Hawaii, the ocean is not just a place, it's a culture, it's identity, it's livelihood. And yet, we continue to lose people to something we understand and can prevent. Around the world, places like Denmark are building national systems to track and respond to drowning with precision. Here in Hawaii, we hold something just as powerful, generations of people with lived experience and a deep relationship with the ocean. The question is not whether we can prevent drowning. The question is whether we're willing to do what it takes. This is not about blame. This is about responsibility. And this is about moving from awareness to action. Because the next drowning is not just a possibility, it's predictable. And that means it's preventable. This is Deep Dive into Water Safety. And I usually start this show by talking about the person that I've never met, who's on our show right now, who is responsible, the lead writer for the 2025 Water Safety Plan and the Water Safety Coalition. So today, we're joined by Allison Schaefers, a writer for the Honolulu Star-Advertiser, a member of the Hawaii Water Safety Coalition, and a leading voice in advancing water safety, the Water Safety Plan. Her work brings together public awareness, policy, and prevention to address drowning as a serious public health issue in Hawaii. She is also a bereaved parent, and her personal loss has helped drive meaningful change, raising awareness on stormwater dangers and contributing to efforts that led to Sharkey's Law. She brings both lived experience and policy insight to one of the most important safety conversations in our state. Welcome, Allison. I'm so
Thank you.
glad to have you here because everybody needs to understand we talk about this water safety plan that I have sitting here that's dog-eared. It's so well written, and the governor said, and we'll talk about the plan. I want you to start off by talking about you and everything. But what got to me is when the governor held up the plan and said, if you take this plan and you read it and take it to heart, you can save lives. So I've been saying that for a lot for the last 10 months. So if you just could give us a background to yourself and how you got involved with the coalition, wherever you want to start, Allison, I think I'll
Sure.
start there.
So we have a saying in Hawaii, right, that your kuleana chooses you sometimes. I had been in the drowning prevention space in terms of being a bereaved parent, but that work is very hard and it's very grueling. And I had taken a break for a little bit. And I had a phone call one day from Sarah Fairchild, who's the co-founder of the Hawaii Water Safety Coalition. She co-founded it with Jessamy Town Horner, another bereaved parent. And she called me at the newspaper and she said, somebody gave me your name. We'd like to place an editorial about water safety. And I said, well, I'm not in charge of the editorial department, but tell me more. And I said, well, let me give you the name of the person who can help you with your editorial, but I would like to get involved. And so it was time to get back into water safety and advocacy. So wrong call, right time, and right person. They had a dream, and the real reason they formed the coalition was to write a water safety plan. And it was felt that we needed a water safety plan because we had a systemic problem in the state. And we had a lot of really caring people working in different silos, but nothing united and really driving the momentum forward. And so my skills as a writer and being able to write very technical things clearly made me a unique person in this space, as well as my own loss. I'm a bereaved parent. I lost my daughter in 2004, Charlotte. We called her Sharky. She was a very avid swimmer, and she died rescuing a child who had fallen into a flooded detention pond. It was improperly flooded. Those ponds aren't designed to hold water like that. They're designed to hold a little bit of water for a short time and drain. It wasn't marked. It looked like rolling hills in the neighborhood between the backyards of the houses and between the playground. We lived in a gated community in a cul-de-sac, and all the children in the neighborhood were out playing on a day that was very sunny when this happened. It had been after some heavy rains, but we didn't know the danger was in our neighborhood. And two issues were at foot there. One, we didn't have any warning about what this pond could do. Number two, the pond was 89% clogged, the drainage, and they actually knew it and chose not to fix it. We uncovered emails later that said the cost to fix it outweighed the liabilities. And so they absolutely chose not to maintain this thing that was a danger in the neighborhood, a hidden hazard. The other problem is her friend couldn't swim. Sharky could swim very well. And so she didn't hesitate. There were much older children with her. It was a pack of children that day. And she didn't hesitate to jump in, but saving someone is very different than swimming. And so she lost her life in the process. She was able to push him out, but the other children were able to pull him as she pushed him out. And then she went under somehow. We don't know if it was because he was struggling. We don't know if she stepped off the ledge. It was also very slippery. Those things aren't designed to be swimming holes, so they're slippery like glass. And my friend, who is a trained lifeguard, is the one that recovered her body. They formed a grid. It took 10 minutes to find her. And my friend, who's the trained lifeguard, could not get out of that pond herself. She had to be helped by the adults. So that tells you how dangerous these things can be without safety mechanisms like fencing, signage, ring buoys. Last year, as a result of the water safety plan and the coalition momentum, we were able to get Sharkey's Law through. And now those ponds require fencing starting in 2027, signage, and ring buoys. So that will help make them a little bit safer.
That was 2 decades ago, wasn't it, when you
It
lost
sure
your daughter?
was. But for me, in many respects, it was a minute ago.
Yes.
When you have that kind of loss, it stays with you. And so I've worked very hard to try to turn that pain into progress and to propel forward. In fact, writing the water safety plan, I did get PTSD while I was doing it. It was a massive endeavor, and I spent hours and hours in drowning prevention and drowning data. But I would tell myself as I was writing it, that I needed, my daughter gave me courage and inspiration to keep going. And I kept thinking, if a 5-year-old can be a hero, that we can all be heroes.
That's a great line. I want to go into this because I have it right here. It's all dog-eared. I've been sending it out to everyone that I've interviewed for the last 10 months, whether they live in the United States or abroad. They've all gotten a copy of this, and most people talk about it as being just an amazing document. And we can talk. I think you've gotten an award for this document. You've been recognized, I think. for the right.
Yes, Safe Kids Worldwide. And I actually taught a class on writing water safety plans for them at their conference in October, in Maryland. But they asked me to write a class on writing water, or teach a class on writing water safety, impactful water safety plans. But we did win a National Children's Champion Injury Prevention Award for that plan.
Congratulations, because
Thank you.
I ask everyone I talk to, do you have a water safety plan? It's something I ask in countries of people I've talked to, and most people say they don't have one. And so I pass along this one all the time. And anyway, I'm looking at it right now, and what caught my eye is exactly what you're saying. You took technical information and you made it very easily readable for people. Anybody can go through this document, see the key statistics that are alarming, and then go to recommendations in different parts to understand if they don't want to read the whole document, which I thought. And the executive summary has caught me from the very beginning, where you say in this sideline, but somehow we have lost our way. Water is taking too many lives in Hawaii. That's just very impactful. And when I tell people we've got the second highest drowning rate, when we first started, they were surprised. And they also say to me, why do we have so many drownings and why aren't we doing something about this? That's kind of the anecdotal response I get all the time. But what you said right now is that you are making progress. But I had to say that beginning piece to this interview because I feel very strongly that we could be doing more than we are.
Oh, and we absolutely still could be doing more, but I like to celebrate the wins, and we've had a few. And I'm from the South originally. I've lived here more than 20 years. I do think you can catch more flies with honey than vinegar a lot of times. So I want to celebrate our successes, and I mean, I think it's huge that the Department of Health and that the Department of Education. Just this past week, we had a hearing for a resolution to support the findings and recommendations in the water safety plan. And they both testified in favor of that. So, part of it, part of fixing a problem is recognizing that you have one and looking at what the causality is of these problems. And then taking stewardship and ownership of what you can, and then working together to. Create what we'd like is legacy change in Hawaii. I think one of the hardest things is because we are a state surrounded by water and we're a state of islands, and because we have so many wonderful watermen and waterwomen and this legacy, it's easy to say, and I think this is the fundamental problem. It's easy to say that the drownings are our visitors and not to think that they're our residents. I think that's most people think, oh, all those ocean drownings, it's the visitors and they just don't understand our water. But in reality, the statistics show that only 51% of the ocean drownings were visitors. Our residents are drowning at the second highest rate in the nation, and our kids, and this one just kills me because I lost my kid to drowning. Our keiki, our the leading cause of death for kids ages 1 to 15 is drowning. And how, if we want a future in Hawaii, because kids are the future, can we be okay with that? And then it gets even worse. I mean, I actually cried, I think, when I looked at some of the statistics and when I was working on the plan, because this is Hawaii. And our native Hawaiian Pacific Islander populations are drowning at 1.5 times the rate of the general population. And when it comes to the keiki for native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders, it's 3 times the rate. And I think it's because a nation, well, worldwide, drowning is more increasingly becoming an equity issue. Because of that, how decent human response to that would be to try to make things more equitable, to try to make things more inclusive. And that's what we're all about in Hawaii. So we're really trying to work on those things. And, I think one of the basic problems is the other thing is our kids can't swim. If you look at second graders in public school system, less than 2% have the skills to prevent from themselves from drowning. And they could swim, some of these kids. When I'm talking about the skills to prevent yourself from drowning, that's different than swimming as well, because that could be floating. Different aspects of water safety also come into play, understanding rip currents, things like that. But our children are actually, and I think that's the other thing that we don't understand. We focus so much on the ocean here. When it comes to our children, it's actually other bodies of water that aren't, they're more inclined to drown in. About a third of the kids are drowning in swimming pools and that are under the age of 7. And it's not just swimming pools, it's also retention and detention ponds, stormwater structures, lakes, rivers, streams, floodwaters, bathtubs, puddles, even.
Right. Dr. Saunders came on the show. She's from South Africa and she's working on an equity thing for drowning. And what she said to me is they have an issue with water and they have to limit how much water they have. So they would put it in buckets. And young children were dying from putting, falling over into a bucket of water.
Oh yeah, and I actually used that analogy. Unfortunately, this year, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there was a movement to a Senate bill and a House bill were introduced to try to gut Sharkey's Law and take the fencing requirement from
No
some of
idea.
the. No, and I had to defend that. We did defeat that this year, and we got it deferred. But my analogy, this development group that wanted to eliminate the fencing requirement and some of these structures, they wanted to eliminate the fencing requirement for any structure that held 18 inches or less of water. And I held up a bucket at that point because even our 5-gallon buckets federally are labeled that they're a drowning risk. And
Yes.
so, I mean, basically, they said that if they had to put up fencing, that they would be less inclined to put up more green stormwater type infrastructure. And I mean, the cost of a fence, first off, it wasn't even correct. If you look at the cost of the fences compared to the other parts of the development, that wasn't true. And then green stormwater infrastructure, there's all kinds of evidence that suggests that in the long run, it's more cost effective or it's cost neutral. So it was really just an end run to try to not have to do the fencing. And there over time there could be some discussions and some flexibility, but we need to understand what we're working with first. The counties are supposed to do a survey of existing retention and detention ponds and come back with some recommendations because Sharkey's Law just applies to new retention and detention ponds right now.
We're very lucky to have you. We're very, very lucky in the water safety community to have you, Allison Schaefers, because you can write well, you can speak well, and you can take information and make it simplified for legislators and normal people to understand. And that is so important because I hear from researchers all the time. They're in their own little bubble, but what do they do? They think they have enough research. It's just getting that information out to people who are making the decisions to understand it. And you've done a great job for us with this water safety plan. I mean, there was an article I read 2 years ago that Mike Tipton, Sarah Fairchild, and Kalani were on that said Hawaii should be the leader in water safety. And I actually agree, thought that was a no-brainer. Of course, we should be. Everybody should be looking for us for progress. And you've done that with this 2025 Hawaii Water Safety Plan. And you're right. There have been some good developments. Sharkey's Law is one of them. And the fact that you were able to go into these people who were trying to defeat that and put it down and give them really good information is wonderful because not everybody could do that.
Well, and I think one of the things that resonated with the legislature in that was the cost of drowning, because they were talking about the cost of a fence, which We're talking minuscule thousands to the cost of a drowning in Hawaii by the CDC is actually estimated at around $10 million per drowning when you take into account the medical rescue and statistical value of a life. And so between 2019 and 2023, we had 475 drownings in Hawaii. So if you take that calculation, that's $4.75 billion.
Thank you.
Drowning. Fencing isn't, and what I told the legislature, fencing isn't expensive, drowning is expensive. And then it's the human cost too. And I will tell you that when you experience a drowning personally, it never goes away. The pain actually goes into it's like almost inherited trauma. I mean, my entire family, and in fact, it was one of the things I noticed that really killed me during the testimonies for Sharkey's Law, is my friends that were the 20 years ago that were there at the pond with us. I didn't ever realize, I think in my own pain, how much pain they had experienced, and how 20 years later, people that were just our neighbors are still very, very traumatized. It was really hard for them to testify. And some of the testimony was just really poignant. And they have carried this experience with them throughout their lives, and it has altered it.
I think you've made just a wonderful point, because we have drownings here and they're local people. And we live in small communities and we know the people, we're part of the community, and we all take it in. Everybody I know here in my just little group of people has known somebody who has drowned or has somebody who knows somebody has drowned. And we take it in as a community. It's a traumatic trauma situation, not just for the family, but for the community and everybody else that was involved. You're exactly right.
Well, and can we talk a little bit about the community? Because you mentioned about the water safety plan. So I really, from the start, I had a vision that was very different, I think, than what other states are doing. There's a number of states working on water safety plans. And my vision was I wanted a plan that the community could understand at a sixth grade level, that children could read and take something from, and that families could take something from, and that our canoe clubs and our watermen and women and the junior lifeguards, and they could understand. And because I feel in Hawaii especially, real change happens at the community level. I see that all the time. I saw that. I've seen that in the recovery from Lahaina. I'm seeing that in the recovery from the recent floods in the North Shore, and how this community bands together to help each other and make change. And so I think if you really want to get something done in Hawaii, you have to do it on a community level. And so my dream is to take this plan, and at the 5-year level, I'd like to do another plan. We've identified hot spots and black spots in every community, every island of the state, where these are places where we've had the most frequent drownings or where there's the highest risk of drowning. And I'd like to go into those communities, and I'd like those communities to take stewardship of their areas, their hot spots and their black spots, and be part of the discussion on the solution on what we can do at a community level to affect change in there, to help prevent the drownings. And I think that, especially too, I was very aware as I wrote this plan, not only of the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander data, but that we live in Hawaii and that we have a very strong host culture in Hawaii. And that host culture has a lot of wisdom. And if we really want to do something that is right in Pono here, that we have to take that into account. And I believe, the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander culture is very place-based. So from a cultural standpoint, I think there's a lot of reason behind that. And so I feel like that will kind of be the next step that we need to do.
I think you're absolutely right. And when I interviewed Dwayne DeSoto, he said several things to me, and he said it twice. We have been neglecting our youth. And he said, I don't say that. I'm going to say it again. We have been neglecting our youth. The second thing he said to me was the word for him is perseverance. He's been doing what he's been doing for a long time, and he keeps doing it. And in my opinion, has a gold standard in the Kamakai and what they do, and working with water safety, navigation and the culture. It's a great program, and I know George Centeno has been absolutely from the Department of Education, PE, working with him to maybe make that the best pilot program we could have for water safety. Because as you identify, it's not being just a swimmer, a skill, but water competency. How do you stay safe in water, right? I had an example of a neighbor here who had a young son, and they moved back to Singapore. But while he was here, she asked me, who could I get my son some kind of water, experience? And there was nobody. This was 2 years ago. They moved to Singapore, where there's lots of pools. Everybody lives in high rises. There's pools everywhere. Her son is now 4. He was walking past a pool and some kid was playing around and he ended up in the pool. Now they had a nanny, she wasn't with him, but he drowned. He had a non-fatal drowning, right? Because they had to pull him out and they had to get him to the hospital. And I thought to myself, wow, this is one of the things we're talking about. It's not just the ocean, it's pools, it's tubs of water, it's bathtubs, it's all those kinds of things that we need to think about.
Right, and I think that was a message that we really hadn't started discussing that publicly until the water safety plan.
Right.
So we're seeing a lot more rallying around that. And just shout out to Nakamakai and Dwayne DeSoto. He recently came and spoke with me at the National Drowning Prevention Alliance. We had a conference on, and we did a presentation from Hawaii on creating a culture of water safety. And so they are also a partner in our plan. So Dwayne DeSoto and Nakamakai underwrote the cost of the graphic design in the plan. And I worked with their team at DTL on the Native Hawaiian consulting and the graphics so that I wanted to make sure that this plan was authentic and accurately represented the communities that it should.
Well, you chose the right person. I met him once because I'm on the Kauai Lifeguard Association. I'm a secretary, and they came to Kalapaki, and I didn't know who they were. And what he said to me was so right on. He goes, "We have to work together, whether you fish, paddle, swim, we all surf. We're all in this together, taking care of each other." So you're talking about community. And he said, the other issue we have is we're all in our little silos. I mean, I'm part of the Hanalei Canoe Club, so they feel they know everything about water safety, right? And if you talk to sailing canoe people, they'll say, we know everything about water safety, but they're not working together as a community, I feel. And that's what he was saying. Everybody's in their own little silo. We need to come together to work. And that's what you're saying about community, which I think is great. Is that going to be the water safety plan 2.0? Is that what you're
It will, I
talking
think. I've got to
about?
get some funding for that though, because that is we kind of did this on a wing and a prayer, and
Right.
I donated all my time for to write this water safety plan, and it was more than 500 hours of work. So, but in the case of communities, that's going to require stakeholder meetings and going into these communities, and that's a whole nother level of process. So hopefully, with some of these endorsements, we can apply for some grants and that we could, but yes, absolutely. That is my dream for 2.0 water safety plan. And I think that we can get there. My favorite thing that I heard, I think, there was a talk show and they were talking about the water safety plan, and Naka Nathaniel mentioned that he was hearing that the canoe clubs were using it. And I love that because I didn't want this to be a plan just about scientists. And when I speak, and I've spoken quite a bit on our water safety plan now, I was on four panels at the National Drowning Prevention Alliance Aquatics Conference in February. And I taught a class in Maryland in October on water safety writing. And I just feel that scientists aren't the people, and the medical professionals and the first responders that we need to convince that water safety is important. I wanted it to be for just the average people at home. Those are the people that need to be convinced that water safety is important. And also our visitor industry, which they've stepped up too, and they were very supportive of Sharkey's Law and the rest of it, because visitor industry is an over $20 billion dollar industry in Hawaii, and it's tragic when our visitors save up for the vacation of a lifetime, and that one of them goes home in a body bag.
That's correct. But to answer your question about canoe clubs, when this first came out, I gave it to our board at Hanalei Canoe Club. And we now have an ocean safety officer, and we're putting together a water safety plan for the canoe club. And as you said, also, this is a working document. It could sit in a shelf, right? You did a water safety plan, it goes sits in a shelf, but this hasn't been the case. It's actually a great working document. And if you get people owning it, that it's theirs to do something with, it becomes more successful. That's why I think you were identified nationally as writing a great plan for people at a just regular resident level to be educated. Even a visitor could read this and
Yeah,
get.
it was funny. You should have heard me with the scientists while we were doing the plan. Dr. Galanis, I supplied a lot of the data from the Department of Health. And of course, when you're reducing it to try to make it more readable, you have to make sure you're still accurate. So I still remember going around about, okay, could we say it this way? Could we say it this way? And then there were a couple charts that had the word decedent in it. And I'm like, can we just call them dead people? Death. I mean, and so it's funny. And when I teach about writing impactful water safety plans, you can see the aha light going on, because so many of these plans, well-intentioned, they're never going to create a culture of water safety because they don't speak to people at their level.
Right. And at the Canoe Club, I've been wor working on this for the last 8 months, and it's just getting people together to have ownership in it. Because if I just write it, it'll just sit there. I need the people that I paddle with to understand that water safety is important. And maybe you think you're safe, but we keep getting new people in. We get kids coming in. The same thing about that I recommended that the kids program have CPR training, which they do. But I also, this time around, just 2 weeks ago, said, it really is from talking to people, from Dr. Semstrat, he recommends parents, all parents of children who are around water, need to have CPR, breath plus compressions, because drowning is a brain dysfunction with lung complications. And that is oxygen so important. So I hope they take that and tell the parents we're going to be offering this, and this is really important. So we're trying to make those strides, and I'm sure other canoe clubs maybe in Oahu are, I'm not aware. But yeah.
Now, I kind of got chicken skin when I heard you say that they were writing or doing their own plan. I love
Yeah.
that. That was the inspiration.
I don't know why I got that. I'm sorry.
No, no.
Yeah, I think, and we've had incident reports, and we're looking at debriefing, because all of that's important when we have accidents and people think, well, it's not going to happen to me. So you need to prepare for the worst situation, right? When you have people in the water.
We do. And I mean, we also need to increase access to swimming lessons and make sure that that is the priority in our homes. Almost like, we need to have hurricane plans. We need to have flood plans. We need to have other emergency plans. I mean, we are in the middle of a drowning crisis here. So we need a drowning prevention plan in every home. At the very basic water safety level. It was interesting to me. We did a visitor safety conference with the Hawaii Lodging and Tourism Association, and they had the security folks from most of the major hotels and stuff. And they asked how many folks learn to swim by just being tossed in the water. And it
Yeah.
was like the whole room. I mean, not like a swimming lessons, but somebody just and then, I hear all the time from the canoe clubs and that, they get children who are just dropped off that can't swim. They got to teach them to swim before they can teach them to paddle. And then I hear from the different surf instructors that visitors come that have no swimming ability and they sign up to take a surf lesson. So, we have to increase self-awareness and we have to increase access to swimming safety and swimming lessons. And it's difficult. It's expensive, and some level, but I don't think it's more expensive than if we let people drown.
Thank you. That's exactly right. And so everybody knows it, the CDC and the World Health Organization. It's Mike Tipton came on and said, years of life lost, right? And when I interviewed him from the Physiological Institute at the University of Portsmouth in the UK, I didn't realize what he was really talking about. And now I do 10 months later, because he was saying float to survive, float is really important. Yes, it's okay that you swim, but people can be great swimmers. They get caught and they can't, they need to know what to do in a situation. And floating keeps you alive. So I think water competency, we have zip line things I see at the airport here. Go do a zip line tour. Maybe we should be doing water competency, how to survive in the ocean. Here's what we'll teach you.
Oh, I
Here's
love
what.
that. It would be great if instead of just lay making classes and things like
Yes.
that, that
Yeah.
the hotels and different places offer that as an added value for the
Yes.
people that come. I think it's just, I don't think there's resistance really. I think it's
No.
just getting the idea out and asking and partnering together. It's all of us taking ownership of those things. And I believe we can make a difference. I mean, so the coalition started in 2023. And in the past 2 years, we've had three pieces of legislation pass. And we've defeated another piece of legislation that would have gutted one of our bills. And then we have two resolutions that seem to be moving forward this year. So, that kind of shows you what can happen when people are determined and that there is that persistent refusal to take no for an answer. And I mean, part of that might be, I hear often that the lifeguards and the folks in the water, men and women communities, speak about when the bereaved families started to come forward and share their stories, that it kind of galvanized everything because it showed, what you're fighting for.
Right.
And so there's several of us in this space. Shirley DeRago, who's teaching water safety all across Hawaii Island, who lost her little boy in a fishing incident.
Right.
Jessamy Town Horder, who lost her husband and daughter in a drowning incident with a storm off island, and the little girl was swept out, and the husband tried to help, and they were gone, and Sharky and flooding situations. So I'm certainly thinking about the flooding situations as we've had the Kona lows come. And it's important at every community and in every state to do things that speak to your problems in your communities and your states. Like the National Drowning Prevention Plan doesn't have anything about climate change and flooding. Our plan does because I lost Sharky in that type of a situation.
Yeah.
And because with climate change, we know that the ground is becoming more arid, and at the same time, we're having more intense storms, and that is a recipe for flooding disaster. And that the more floods you have, the more increased risk of drowning you have. And it's even dangerous for our first responders. So, I think we're in that area, we're kind of at the forefront of that discussion. I was actually asked to be on a hidden hazards panel at the National Drowning Prevention Alliance to talk about that because Hawaii is at the forefront of that discussion, at least.
Tell me about the legislation that you say you've had passed since you've had this water safety coalition.
The first piece of legislation that we passed was Water Safety Day. So May 15th every year is now a legacy Water Safety Day. Jessamy Town Horner really kind of took spearheaded that piece, and that was She wanted to do it in honor of Mark and Mina, who she lost. But also, it's she mentioned when we unveiled the plan that it was a love letter to the community, and in many ways, I think for Jesse, it was. Sarah Fairchild spearheaded another piece of legislation that was the Duke Kahanamoku license plate bills, and they're going to be able to sell those and raise some money for water safety as part of that process. And then, of course, Sharkey's Law, which I spearheaded. And that was, but when I say we spearheaded it, it was on a personal level, we took kind of ownership of that. But of course, the coalition really helped get all of that through, so many members and so many extended family and things like that. And then this year, we worked to defeat we call it the anti-Sharkey bills. And then,
Crazy.
yeah, that was difficult. And then right now we're working on two resolutions. One is to make lifeguard or to recognize open water lifeguards as first responders, which of course they absolutely are. And then the other is to support the recommendations and findings of the water safety plan. And then we supported a spear fishing bill this year. It did make it through the House side, but it didn't get a hearing after crossover. We'll work on that. It's for labeling spearfishing equipment because spearfishing, and from a Native Hawaiian perspective, that's some of those deaths in the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander community relate back to that. That was from Free Dive Safe Hawaii, which is another coalition member, so we supported that. Another couple bills that we have not been successful at. We tried to get a bill through to do a pilot within the Department of Education for we wanted it to be a pilot that could be scalable for water safety swimming lessons in the school system. Because until 1987, I think, the Department of Education did offer in the school system swimming and water competency lessons. And we think that they should be doing that through their PE classes. But we recognize that maybe we came out a little early with that. They do have some challenges at the DOE that they did not have in the 87 with the curriculum, and there's a lack of pools and the transportation issues. And they have so many requirements that, from an educational standpoint, they were worried about too much time out of class. So we're working on that with them. Eventually, I think we'll come up with the right plan. Something that was really made me optimistic was for them to support the findings and recommendations of the water safety plan. And they said in that letter that the coalition, their relationship with us, was very important to them. It's so we are making strides, and we'll figure it out together. Nakamakai, another one of our members, has a pool now, a storage container pool that they're working on getting scale that could go to places that don't have pools. So, excuse me, where there's a will, there's a way.
See, that's outside the box. That's what I like about Dwayne DeSoto.
Yeah, no, I mean, and but they're not ready to scale up. When they're ready to scale up, they will be behind them.
I
So,
know he's working on a definition of swimming also.
yeah, absolutely. We're supportive of that. That was something that came out of our water safety conference, which we're going to have another one on May 14th at the Queen Kapi'olani Hotel. So anybody that wants to come, we'd encourage them to come out because we do have a lot of good frank discussions and talk about coalition priorities there. This year, we really hope to establish some core working groups and get them working throughout the year. There's because so many of our coalition members are doing wonderful things, but we too have to, coordinate a little better. It's hard when you're flying so fast.
I think what you said before, you get more with honey than with vinegar, and I think you've done a great job. So what do you think was the main accomplishments this year for the water safety plan, just to generalize? And what do you think, as you said, it's working groups is going to be the focus for this May's Coalition conference, correct? Okay.
Yes, we want to take some of those priorities and get really strong working groups that are doing their own thing and recommending legislation. But it's not just legislation isn't the only policy change
Right.
that needs to take place. And I think, as I mentioned, I'm really actually more excited when I hear about the stuff at the very grassroots level, because in Hawaii, I think that makes more change. So, I mean, from the coalition standpoint, this year we've got those two rezos that still are going through. That's a good stride. The other thing is, and I can't talk too much about it, but we do have a campaign coming out with the Department of Health. They'll be launching something, so they'll very soon. I mean, I don't want to give all of it away, but we have a partnership there. So that's exciting. Trying to get more information out to people about water safety and drowning prevention. I think we showed up for the Hawaii Tourism Authority's destination management action plans. I think you'll see some recommendations in the DMAPs around water safety. So that was something that happened. We did go, like I said, I was on four panels this year at the National Drowning Prevention Alliance Conference, representing Hawaii. And also, representing from the Department of Health standpoint as well, what they're doing. They have filled a position now. They have a permanent drowning position within the DOH, which before that position was vacant for a long time, and then it was temporary.
Who
And
does
they've
it
done it.
now?
And they have a, her name is Amanda Allison. And so she's terrific. She just came on the job very shortly before our February conference, and she attended the conference at the in Colorado Springs at the National Drowning Prevention Alliance. But she's been working very hard. I think they do need more support at the injury prevention level. They don't have quite the budget of some of the other departments or quite the focus. So that's going to take a policy change. And it's not even really the Department of Health. It has to, the policy change for that has to happen above them, because it's a trickle down impact when you're talking about state departments. But that was a win. We've got some partnerships that are going to be coming out soon with the visitor industry. That's a win too, but I can't talk about them greatly at the moment.
But I'm glad you have some things coming out. I know the Ben Carlson Foundation is going to be working with HLA in second grades for some water safety education, which is exciting that they've.
Oh, right. They've announced that with their lifeguard book, which is
Yeah.
wonderful, and with also water safety class education. The other thing, so as part of, I think, one of the big wins of having, I think, partly influenced by the water safety plan is the CDC Foundation. The Department of Health now has a grant, and they're coming, and they're going to be meeting with a lot of people. As well, but there's a position now funded within the Department of Health that will start soon. And it's an epidemiologist to look at the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander drowning rates and to try to take a look at what we can do differently to adjust that, as well as just our drowning rates in general. And that was a big win. So that was part of the CDC Foundation grant process. So yeah, we've had some really great things happening. Is it happening fast enough for me? It'll never be fast enough.
Right. That's why I had to start this interview the way I was, because I see it and I still go back to it because Alyssa Magrum will come back on the show, and she is executive director of the National Drowning Prevention Alliance. And her key thing was it has to start at the top. It has to be a state priority or a national priority, because we come to a lot of situations where we go, we don't have the money for that. And
Right.
I think Nikki's bill was excellent, and she is such a passionate person for what she did. I mean, she stand up paddle across a channel because she believes so much about safety in free diving. And then the bill that was written is great. I'm sure you helped her with that. I see the executive summary, and it makes total sense. But I think in the realm of having this climate change, we had this huge flood. that all of a sudden, maybe I'm thinking, I'm not a legislator, they're going, we can't do anything. We've got to just focus on what's a priority right now about what we do, and this is not a priority. I mean, so.
Yeah, and I think we have to do a better job of explaining what the costs are. And there are, like I said, staggering 4.75 billion between 2019 and 2023 for the 475 deaths. And that's the deaths, non-fatal drownings. We don't have a good handle on how many those are. And I would wager a guess probably even more than the fatal drownings. And the cost for that could be exponentially more because you're looking at a lifetime of disabilities.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we're trying to get a handle. That's another thing that we're doing. We're trying to get a handle on those statistics. Other states are working on that to some degree. So yeah, it's
That to
there's a
me
lot
is
we're doing.
the piece. That's the piece, looking at the expenses, because Dr. Semstrat just said for every fatal drowning, they know there's two to six non-fatal drownings. Right there, you have, there's enough research on it. It's just, as you just said, explaining the cost to the community, to society, the loss, and even what Mike Tipton brought up, exactly the same. So maybe we should be moving in that direction also. Is there anything, I know that people can go to the Water Safety Coalition, the Hawaii Water Safety Coalition, right? .org, is that correct? And
Yes.
they can get the 2025 Hawaii Water Safety Plan. They can download it. Is that the
Absolutely.
best place? Okay.
Sure. And I mean, if you just type in Hawaii Water Safety Plan, I think the Department of Health has it hosted as well. So it really pops up. It's quite easy to download.
Okay. Is there anything more you want to say about this water safety plan, the one that we have right now that you feel great about? I mean, the whole thing is nice. There's so many recommendations for each area.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping that we get to a point where when we go to ask for funding from the legislatures or from the counties or from anybody else, like Sharkey's bill, we wanted to do an inspection program for these retention and detention ponds, similar to what we have for reservoirs and dams. And they came back with some, I don't even think correct numbers, but just an overinflated amount. But when you look at it, what are we willing to spend to save our kids, to save our communities, to and I don't really understand why public safety spending is often so much less than spending on other priorities. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times I see us spend money on things like a study.
Right.
That's going to sit on some shelf.
Yeah.
Let's actually spend money on something that will keep our kids, our grandkids, our communities safe. And actually, in the long run, will save us money because when if you're looking at the drowning costs are astronomical in this community. And it's just also a traumatic pain point. And it's I think one thing that was interesting to me is I often would hear, oh, we have these drowning rates because we're surrounded by the ocean. And you know what? It's just not true.
Right.
Because you look at the other states that are doing really well, and I mean, New York is lots of water. Minnesota has lots of water. They're doing terrific. Some of the other East Coast states are really doing great. And the reason is that they're spending money on teaching kids to swim,
Right.
and on those programs, or they have lifeline jacket programs, or they, Minneapolis, and we're going to take a look at that. The Twin Cities, actually through the counties has there's free swimming lessons paid through parks and recreation through their county budgets. So any kid there that wants free swimming can have a free swimming lesson. That's terrific.
Right.
And there's absolutely no reason that we can't try to figure out how to do some of those things too. And that would make us statistically not the second worst state in the nation. The only state worse than us is Alaska.
Right.
And that's pretty sad.
Yes, I agree with that. But Do you know anything about Louisiana? Weren't they a state that got water safety into their schools? Is that correct?
I am not sure, but there's a number of states that have,
Yeah.
and a number of states that are working on it. I was just going to see if, oh, I can't move through the. I was going to take a look at the states, but I can't see the water safety plan here.
Is
But
it
I just,
in the water safety plan?
we actually have the, not the Louisiana, but we have the list of states. It shows you
Oh.
who's good and who's not. And it's surprising, but I mean, states like California aren't even at the worst end.
Right.
And they're surrounded by water too, really. I mean, so it really, I think a lot goes back to what you prioritize as a community, what is important to you, and what you're going to tolerate. And I mean, and I think owning that, you know, it's not just that we have drownings. We are in the middle of a drowning crisis. It is an emergency.
Yes. Yes. But I guess what you said is you've got to get the cost piece in a better message, because I think that's where everybody gets stopped in the Ways and Means Committee or whatever about budgeting things. And I guess that's where we start. And then the mayor here said, we've got to change our messaging. We have messaging, but nobody's paying attention to it, right? So,
Well,
and
your mayor, I mean, you know, all of the, it was interesting. I spoke with him. He was at the ledge the other day, and he mentioned having swimming lessons when he was back in school.
right.
You know, they were still there when he was there. And a lot of the lawmakers, I think that's part of it too. Except for the very youngest ones, most of them probably had access to swimming lessons when they were in school because it didn't stop until the late 80s.
Right. That's exactly right. So I guess we got to start thinking out of the box or keep working on it, like you're saying. But the messaging to our community about water safety is really important. And the airlines could be another place that we're showcasing. I mean, Kalani has said it just recently, and he also has said things like we aggressively market to tourists. But we're underfunding the infrastructure to keep people safe. And you know, he's exactly right. And
Well,
so
that's yeah, on the visitor side too, one of the things that we've been supportive of, and it's just kind of going slowly, but there has been some money. I think Sean, the representative Sean Quinlan, several years ago put money into for an app for tourism. And we would like to see that app in the same way that they do geofencing for advertising. We'd like to see water safety messaging. Like we'd like
exactly.
to, if somebody's going towards a beach that doesn't have a lifeguard, we'd like something to pop up and say, this beach is not lifeguarded. These beaches in the nearby vicinity are, or there's been a storm alert offshore. The waters may look calm, but we wouldn't advise swimming today at this beach.
I agree with that. That's and that's all part of AI that's developing around the world in terms of water safety. But
Well,
I
and you know, I was just going to say we talk about visitors too, right? Like there's something different. But
right.
so many people in Hawaii vacation on the other islands, we're often visitors too. I mean, my family takes vacations to the neighbor islands all the time.
Right.
And we don't understand the risk on the neighbor islands, just like they don't understand the risk on Oahu, in the same way. So, you know, we have to remember we're all visitors too.
Exactly. And if we just had one central place where everybody could get the information, to me is really important. I feel like we have too many places where I can go to get information. And if I'm going to another island, I don't know if I'm going to search out that anywhere. But it may be something that's just one central site you go to that has everything you need. So.
Yeah, and I mean, and in the 2.0 too, as we do that with the communities, I think for the water safety plan, I'd like to bring in Haima and some of those folks too, and go a little bit step beyond just regular community stewardship too, and also talk about community resilience hubs.
Yes, that's exactly right. They're starting to do that now. There's a water flood kind of mitigation information piece that's going to happen in Lihue in another week or so on safety, which is good. So all those things kind of complement each other.
Absolutely.
Well, Allison, thank you so much. Where do you see us in 5 years in water safety?
I'm a little different. If you talk to the other people in other states, but they're scientists, right? Their goal is always we want to reduce drowning by like 30% or whatever. It's the same thing I do with New Year's resolutions. I don't try to bite off more than I can chew. I have very simple desires. I just want to see the needle move. And I'll take every little movement of that needle because it gets us somewhere. Yes, eventually I would like to see the end of drowning in Hawaii because most of them are preventable. I would like to see our numbers change. I would like us to go from the worst state in the nation to the best state in the nation. And I think we could. I think we have the tools necessary to do it. I think we have the desire to do it. I'm not sure that we have had the united momentum behind it to do it. Everybody's kind of been working in silos, and it needs funding. I mean, some of these solutions, unfortunately, they do need funding. And that's the piece we don't have. We don't have funding.
Well, Allison, thank you for your time and your work you're doing to advance water safety across Hawaii. And your voice is so important because everything you're saying is absolutely correct. And I'm so pleased to know that you're still in this fight to get water safety where it needs to be in our state and to get the funding. And what we've heard today is that prevention requires coordination, awareness, and willingness to address risk wherever water exists, from our beaches to our stormwater systems. But we must also be willing to ask difficult questions if we're going to solve difficult problems. And the question is no longer whether we have a plan, but how far we are willing to take it here in the state of Hawaii, where water safety becomes a state priority. And that means funding of things that we know we need done because drowning is preventable and it's a crisis in our state that we need to keep saying until we all understand. So, as these conversations continue, your perspective helps ensure that policy is informed by both data and lived experience. Thank you, Allison. Your work in this area and what you've said today, I hope will inspire work going forward to get us to be where we need to be in the state. And you're right, every little improvement is something. Moving forward is what we're trying to do. So, as Duane said, it's perseverance, and I agree with that.
It is, and we do it together.
Right. So, thank you for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.